The first lesson is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king becomes to you. Triumph and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively the verses of Psalm 145. Piano side reads the light verses. Courtyard side reads the bold verses. I will read all verses.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. They shall tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power, that all people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all ages. You, Lord, are faithful in all your words and loving in all your works. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 7. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, 11th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of our Lord.
Facing the existential question, whether humankind is fundamentally good or evil, Martin Luther, the theologian, the academic, the reformer, the curmudgeon, drew heavily on the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome in formulating his response. His answer essentially is yes. He wrote that a Christian man is righteous and a sinner at the same time, holy and profane, an enemy of God and a child of God. Sinner and saint? Yes. Half a millennium after that publication, Lutherans have been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Literally, you can go to oldlutheran.com and check out their saint/sinner clothing and merchandise lines. It's cool. It's pretty clever. There's like this gothic sort of a font, so it says saint, but then you flip it upside down and it says sinner. Yes. I have a few friends who have a few of those shirts. In Latin, it's simul justus et peccator, simultaneously sinner and saint. And sometimes referred to as just the simul, as a shorthand. Caleb Keith, a scholar out of the Missouri Synod at Concordia Irvine, yeah, those guys aren't all bad. He explains that we do not face this paradox by explaining away our sin, or explaining away our sin or watering down our justification. Instead, we face it with the full strength of the gifts of God. The truth, he writes, is that Christians do not stand alone, but need the church. For the church is not a building, but is the proclamation of the word of God and the administration of his gifts of absolution, baptism, and the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sin. The simul is therefore a great act of confession and absolution. In it, we recognize our sin and receive back the sure reminder that we are justified and belong wholly to Christ. Now, back up a minute here, and yes, we just did that, maybe 10 minutes or so ago. The confession and forgiveness part, that is. The Lord's Supper is still to come, and no baptism in today's service, but the font, I think it has water in it. It's so hard to tell when it's clear. I don't come to the rail from the pews very often anymore, for some reason, but when I do like to dip a finger in the water, a remembrance of baptism, a connection of the two sacraments. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That's the creed, in part. We'll finish the rest of that in a few minutes, too. But we do the confession and the absolution every week. Somehow, we still keep managing to sin every stinking week, like it or not. Now, as we read, Paul planted himself firmly in the not category. But it's another guy who clung to Paul's words for confession, the scene of which is indelibly marked in my memory. Permit me to expand the ecumenical circle a minute beyond even Lutherans of other stripes. But Steve, a licensed minister in the Assemblies of God in the last non-Lutheran congregation that I was a part of, he read this passage out of Romans, out of his Bible in one hand, one particular Sunday. And I don't know, I don't think I can really describe it in a way that will do it justice. But it was just before we had communion. And in that tradition, you don't take communion very often. Less than once a month. And unless I was missing some signs or cues, you never really know when until you're there. And it's there, and usually you're well into the second hour of the service. See what I mean about being a little different there? But it was the way he read it, the way I could see that he was so authentically moved by it to the point of tears, standing before us and in that moment, in my eyes, truly embodying the reality of this fundamental human conundrum. Years before I ever learned a little bit of Latin by way of studying the simile. It's always stuck with me. Why, he asked. Why is it that I do what I do not want? I do not do what I want. Gosh, that's, Paul's words are tongue twisters, I swear to you. Why is it that I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate? Now, powerfully, Steve didn't try to offer an answer. But we shared communion together a minute later. And I hadn't yet learned the doctrine of Christ's real presence in the bread, and in that case, grape juice. But I am confident that I felt it. Sin. Not just our ill intentions, but our better ones, whose impacts still woefully miss the mark. It's at the very root of the human experience, and it affects us all throughout our lives. But we are not just fundamentally evil. We are created. And God called all creation, you and me included, good. Now permit me to expand this circle beyond ecumenical bounds and mix the sacred with the profane. Doing so is kind of the whole premise of the TV series The Good Place that ran from 2016 to 2020. I missed the original run. And I'm not really a Netflix binger, but that one hooked me. It's a mix of genres, comedy, philosophical fiction, arguably sci-fi. It's really quite a trip. Now, it revolves around ethical quandaries. It's not explicitly religious, but of course, it has its spiritual implications. There's a running joke throughout about the inherent and perpetual annoyingness of moral ethics and philosophy professors, of which one of the main characters is one. And I would have loved to have been able to sit down and watch it alongside my graduate Christian ethics professor and or my undergraduate media ethics professor, both delightful and irritating people. The work just seems to draw a type. But a string of episodes, spoiler alert, leads to the revelation and conclusion that whether or not one gains entry into the good place in the afterlife is based on a points system, the pointlessness of which would not have been lost on the late Lutheran pastor, theologian, and author, Dan Erlander. And no amount of good deeds earns a person any points if one is doing them for their own gain. But also, in an increasingly complex world of interwoven systems, even the most well-intentioned of acts have unintended negative consequences that the person doing them is either not aware of or cannot be aware of. We confess we have sinned by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Now, the sitcom didn't say it, but it said it without saying it. as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority. It's an absolutely essential modifier. I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. I did it already, and I'll do it again next week. Going back further into Paul's letter to a line that we read 2 weeks ago, should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. But sinner, come here again and be reminded that by the grace of Jesus Christ, you are restored to the goodness to which you were created. Justified not by any merit you cannot truly earn, you will never score enough points without missing the point. But come back to us. Come back to be among those of us who, like the Lutheran pastor who confirmed my wife and who married us, loves to say, are just one beggar telling another where to find bread. In this case, the bread of life. Amen.